on, Bears fans. Another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Jason McKee. This is the only time I will be towering over Jason in this way. I'll take advantage of it. We got a lot to get into on today's episode because, listen, top 30 visits starting to come out. Very interesting. We've also got some names and some eye batting going on between Ashton Jeanty and possibly the Chicago Bears here. And we saw yesterday the Texas Pro Day. Eric Bieniemy and Ryan Poles both going out there with to take a look at what Texas was doing. Could there be some questions on the future of DeAndre Swift on this team? We're going to break all of that down and more on today's episode. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, lead a five-star view. Y'all know what to do. Also want to let you guys know that the Chicago Bears podcast is brought to you by Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes or they'll make your first car payment. J-Mac, what's good, my guy?
Nothing much, man. Spring break right now, so getting ready to do a little traveling. You know, getting a little break from school, the break from the everyday head coaching life, all season workouts, stuff like that. But also excited that, you know, day by day, we're getting closer to this draft and get an opportunity to see what the Bears are going to do. And, you know, we got to add on to the daily discussions about the draft and different scenarios and different players that we like. So, you know, I'm excited about this show. A lot of good talent out there. And like you mentioned, you know, Ryan Poles and Eric Bieniemy and Coach Johnson, everybody's on the move right now.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's doing their pre-draft reports and pre-draft meetings. I talked to my buddy, Andrew Hayes Stoker, who's the defensive backs coach of the 49ers, who was with the Bears back in my day as assistant running backs coach. And, you know, I was talking to him yesterday about some coaching stuff. And he's like, man, we just got out of, you know, pre-draft meeting. So everybody's trying to improve their team and get down to the nitty-gritty in terms of each player. So it's exciting that we get an opportunity to talk about it on our Chicago Bears podcast today.
Man, listen, we almost the Lion season, bro. We got about two more weeks and then Lion season begins. You know, that time of year where for some reason, you know, all of a sudden this dude who's been a great guy all year long is the worst teammate that you've ever seen in your life. And he punts baby duck. Into rivers. Like that's almost where we at, dog. It's just like Abdul Carter's been the number one pick for the entire time, but I have it on good authority that a couple of teammates say that he is hitting kittens in his locker room. Like, all right, dog, like I don't get it.
Right. Right. Just say he leaves the lights on in his apartment when he leaves. He doesn't turn the lights off in his apartment.
This guy's not green. It doesn't make him a good pick. Trust him.
It just goes to show you how wrong like everybody is throughout this process. Like, you know what I mean? Even the teams, like not just talking about, you know, people podcasting and people, you know, obviously people in the media and stuff like that. Yeah. But it just shows you how, you know, how much of a crapshoot this process really is. You know what I mean? You can have the ultimate player in college, you know, everything in terms of what you want from a collegiate standpoint, from what you see. And then all of a sudden, you know, a guy comes in NFL, doesn't pan out. And then a lot of the guys who we aren't talking about throughout this process happens every year, comes in the league and their game just adapts, or they just figure out the NFL game faster than some of the upper echelon talent. And those guys go on to become stars and perennial pro bowlers and, you know, future Hall of Famers. So it's just exciting to see this, how this thing plays out each and every year and you know, how wrong and you know, how right some people are.
That's always my favorite time where it's just like, what happened to all that? Like with Caleb, I'm always like, what happened to like, he was the worst dude in the world. Now every teammate loves him. You know what I mean? It was getting wild out there. Before today's episode, J-Mac, I think the question that as we go through some of the information that has come out in the Bears top 30 visits and the Bears today, we got it recently that Ryan Poles is out at Ohio State right now for their pro day with Ben Johnson. I
love
it. 33 reps from Josh Simmons on the bench press. So big boy getting after it. But I want to talk about the running back position, because even there, Ben Johnson being there, it seems like the Bears are heavily in a market for a running back. And with all of the names that are on the market right now, are the Bears looking for a replacement for DeAndre Swift? That's the question that I think we got to go through today, because as you start to look at some of the 30 visits, as you start to look at where they're going for some of these pro days, one thing continues to stand out with the pieces they continue to bring. Running back is high on their radar. Yeah. With Ben Johnson coming in, where do you stand on Swift's impact in Ben Johnson's system right now? Do you feel like how many people feel in the Bears, Chicago Bears podcast audience, that DeAndre Swift with a good O-line and Ben Johnson is going to become what most people have said DeAndre Swift is and be back to that running back? Or are you kind of on the side where I think I am, where I've seen DeAndre Swift with a good offensive line and a good offensive coordinator, and it kind of was the same guy?
Yeah, I think with him, you look at it, the type of system that, you know, Ben Johnson is going to implement in terms of the running game. And you have to go back to, obviously, what he did in Detroit, having those two backs and David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. You know what I mean? I look at it like that. I don't look at DeAndre Swift as being the bell cow. I look at, you know, him being, you know, partnered up with a running back. So I think we look at Swift's game, right? You look at, you know, Ben Johnson is going to major in outside zone. Obviously, I think DeAndre Swift is you know, really good outside zone runner. I think that's the type of usage you need to have for a back of his skill set and his caliber. I also think he's another back, too, that you can have the opportunity to be able to utilize in the passing game, whether you're putting him out, spreading him out, putting him on a linebacker in one-on-one coverage and using him like that in terms of, you know, creating mismatches in the in the passing game. So when I look at, you know, them going out and scouting running backs, I look at what type of running back do they covet to partner with DeAndre Swift? And when you look at it, I look at, you know, a David Montgomery type, a Quinshon Judkins. You look at an Ashton Jeanty. You could say a Marion Hampton, but I think he's more of a complete back in which you can utilize. You know, I think he's more of a complete every down back. When I look at Quinshon Judkins, Ashton Jeanty, I can't say, you know, Ashton Jeanty, it's hard because we didn't get an opportunity to see him utilize in the passing game, because he was carrying the ball so much. I think he had over 300 carries this year, which is
last year. Remember, year before, I believe he had, and I pulled up the double check. Yeah, I think he had 700 yards that previous season receiving wise.
See, that's good. See that, and that's you. So.
Previous season, I'm sorry, I said 700. He had was targeted 48 times. He caught 44 to passes, 578 yards that previous season, 1,300 rushing yards. And in this season, they were like, forget the receiving part of it. Just run this ball.
But that's good. But that's good, though, because now you have, you know what I'm saying, in Jeanty, a back who's, you know, really good at running the ball in between the tackles, but you can also do some things in the passing game. So it doesn't give the defense an opportunity just to key on a running back and say, okay, Ashton Jeanty's in the game for the Bears. We know they're running the ball, you know, because he has that versatility. So I think, you know, Ben Johnson and this offense, the offense that he wants to establish and the offense that he's used to from what we saw in Detroit, although he says it's going to be different, is really good. The run game is going to be featured. That's not going to be different. And I think he really likes having two backs that may have a different type of skill set. So I look at DeAndre Swift, I see more in the mold of a Jahmyr Gibbs. And I think they're looking for that other back to be that bell cow, that pounder, but can also be able to do some things out in the passing game. When you look at that type of back, you know, the names that come to me, to my mind, is Quinshon Judkins, you know, who I really like, you know, a guy who's been productive even back in his days since he set foot on campus at Ole Miss. Like, the productivity is there. And when you look at the productivity, not only is it there, Pat, it continued to get better each and every year. So I look at him as an ascending player, a guy who didn't have a lot of carries last year because he split time with Trayvon Henderson, you know, in that offense. So you also look at Ashton Jeanty, but there's a lot of backs in this draft. But I think, you know, I think what Ben Johnson may cover to pair with Swift is a bigger back that has speed that he can still utilize in the passing game, but can be more effective in between the tackles than what we've seen from Swift last year.
Yeah, listen, and I think that taking a look at some of the names here in the top 30 is a good place to go here, because the Bears are still looking to improve the offensive line with some of the names that they're bringing in, clearly. But a couple of running backs on the list, Ashton Jeanty being one of them. Yeah. It does make me wonder kind of what direction are they leaning more. So we do want to let you guys know before that, though, this episode is also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas-style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field. Exit 6, right off of I-80. 94. Right now, five names on the list for the Chicago Bears bringing in. We're having a running back conversation, so I want to start with those two. You mentioned Ashton Jeanty, which I think would be kind of the scenario that you're laying out here, J-Mac. If you bring Ashton Jeanty in, right, he is a bell cow style running back. He's somebody who can run between the tackles. He's somebody who can run outside zone. He's someone who can receive if he continues to catch the ball like he did that sophomore year down there at Boise State. The question on him is it going to translate from Boise State to the NFL, which is a long jump, right? But when you're stacking eight in the box, I feel confident, and he's still able to get 2,000 plus yards. I feel confident that there's going to be some translate. But the other name on this list that I think is interesting is Bradford Smith out of SMU. Now, Bradford Smith, when you talk about him as a running back, I see him as exactly what you described DeAndre Swift as. I don't believe that he is a three down back. I think he's very versatile as far as a receiving threat, but also somebody who can, who's light on their feet, has really good open field speed. Mm-hmm. I think that when you talk about route running ability, he's one of the top guys when it comes to that in this draft overall.
Yeah.
But he's a smaller back, right? He's not an every down back. He's not a three down back. I think his thin build is going to make him probably the backup to whoever that bell cow is. Exactly. Are the Bears going to be in a situation to bring in two running backs who are kind of similar in that build?
Yeah, and I think it's Breshard Smith. I think
Breshard, my bad.
So Breshard Smith, you know, he's looking him up, transferred from Miami, played receiver, really good return specialist as well. But here's the thing, like you said, you know, he's 5'10", 191 pounds, ran 4.390 to combine.
Yep.
Not the biggest running back, you know, like you said, more in the mold of DeAndre Swift. And I think he's a guy who, yes, if you just covet a back that can be like your Robin to whoever Batman is, yeah, you know, Sonic and Knuckles like you had in Detroit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I think he's a guy who can, you know, create opportunities in the passing game because he has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, and he has that versatility. And we look at his productivity in terms of all-purpose yards. Yes, he's a playmaker and somebody that you would covet. When you look at that speed, you're like, yes, now we got an offensive weapon that has speed. But here's the thing. So when you look at his weaknesses in terms of NFL.com and looked up his weaknesses, right? And when I see NFL.com, you look up his weaknesses, doesn't offer up enough effort in pass protection. That's very alarming to me. as a running back who's playing the league, as somebody who's playing in the NFL that understands that pass protection for a running back is at a premium. That's like the top thing, because it gets to a point to where all these backs can run the football. All these backs have the ability to catch the ball out of the back.
Deep running back class.
But here's the thing. Pass protection is about want to. When I see doesn't offer up enough effort in pass pro, it shows me that he doesn't want to do it. And not that, you know, he doesn't show like the willingness to do it. In pass protection in the NFL is about want to, it's about willingness, and it's about having an attitude. I'm not saying he can't develop that. You know, haven't watched a lot of his tape, so I don't know if he was called upon to do that at SMU a lot. But at the same time, you've got to be adept at being able to pass protect, especially when that's been our Achilles heel here in Chicago. We've seen it for the last few years.
I mean, listen, Khalil Herbert, right? That is the thing. Like, Khalil Herbert is really, really good outside zone running back. There is no question about it. Some fumble issues, but running the football, hand the ball off, gets the job done. The problem that we all had with Khalil Herbert was when I need Khalil Herbert to go out there and block, he's like, hey, whoa.
Yeah, and what happened to Khalil? And I like Khalil as a runner, and I understand, but, you know, you just saw that, you know, the constant lack of pass protection or the ability to pass protect with Khalil Herbert. And that's what a lot of these backs are going to be judged upon, right? You're trying to find the most complete back, right? And the most complete back is the guys who are at the top of the list right now in terms of what they did in college and what we're evaluating them on in terms of everything, right? So you're looking at, you know, even with Breshard Smith, you know, another thing. Below average leg drive to break arm tackles. You can't break arm tackles in this league. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, because a lot of times if, you know, great running backs in this league, and our running back coach used to always say this, and a lot of running back coaches say this, I say this to my kids, and, you know, if the play's blocked for 4 yards, we expect you to get six. If you're an elite running back, if you're a great running back, you got to be able to create on your own. You've got to be able, because a lot of times, you know, they're not blocking. There's a defender in the box that they're not blocking. That's your man as the running back. You got to make a miss, run them over, do what you got to do. But when I see those weaknesses, it's alarming to me. Runs with a little too much hesitation in his approach. So that means he's hesitant to hit the hole. He's not, you know, sometimes there's runs, right? There's situations that call for you to, you know, get that ball downhill, get north and south, get that 1 yard, get that 2 yards. So when I see those things, it's alarming to me. So, you know, like you said, Pat, you made a good point. Is he going to be the Robin to whoever Batman is? And if you're looking at this guy, then, you know, same mold as John J. Swift, like you said, are you going to look at bringing in a more of a bell cow to pair with a Breshard Smith? And then what do you do with DeAndre Swift?
Yeah.
Or is Ben Johnson looking at Roschon Johnson to be that bell cow who he feels like he may be able to develop, who didn't have a fair shake under the last regime, and then bringing in another back like this? So I don't know. You know, we're talking running backs, but.
You know what? That's a situation that I think probably none of us have ventured down because of the concussion issues, right? It's not because of my issue with Roschon is not that I don't think Roschon can run. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's a clip of me up on Twitter and YouTube somewhere where last season when they finally decided to give Roschon Johnson the ball for a fourth down run and he gets the first down, I'm like, oh, look at that. If you give it to the $2 million dude, he can play football. And then he gets to the goal line. He runs in. The entire defensive line is on top of him. And he uses the leg power to get into the goal line. I'm like, oh, look at that. If you give it to him, he can play football. I think the problem with me with Roschon is not the play. It is the concerns on the concussion protocol, the kind of running back. I don't know if you can go into this season with your lead back.
That's what I mean.
Somebody who you have. Who I think is more of a, would you say more of a gap runner than an outside zone runner, and is going to have to take some of that contact that just inadvertently happens when you go through the line.
Yeah. I mean, Roschon is definitely more of a downhill runner, more of a gap scheme runner. So when you're looking at Roschon, you know, he's a guy you're going to run a lot of power, a lot of duo, mix some counter with him, but it's the availability. You know what I mean? It's, you talk about the abilities that matter most when in the NFL, it's availability. And, you know, you look at, you know, some of these backs, and that's another thing they're being evaluated on. You know, how much time have they missed? Even these linemen. I know we're going to get into these linemen as well.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that because that's what I want them to do. We're talking running backs, so I know in the comments that I know you guys are about to start berating us and talking about, oh, they're talking about Ashton Jeanty. They're talking about Breshard Smith. Oh, we need an offensive lineman. What you mean?
They love Ashton Jeanty in these comments, dog. They all in on them.
I've seen a couple now when we start talking backs. They're like, why is J-Mac talking about running backs? We need an offensive lineman. I get it. We're just evaluating. I want them to stay in the trenches too. So, you know, make sure in the comments, you guys, you know, go ahead and put who you like the Bears to take. But going back, it's the availability, like you said, Pat, with Roschon Johnson.
Yeah, no, 100%. And listen, you bring up the linemen. I think that the running back conversation is one that I still want to have because the Bears are at a couple of pro days right now where, yet again, I think that DeAndre Swift, probably not this season because it's going to cost you $8 million. Hey, J-Mac, you know how football goes. Hey, bro, you make $8 million. Get out there. I don't care if you got a half leg. Get out there.
You better be out there. Hey, bro, I couldn't be the GM, man. I'd be like, yo.
Hey, bro. You know what I mean? I've seen some situations where I'd be like, we know the dude that's making $100,000 is better, right?
I'm too old. I think I'm too old school to be the GM now. Like, you know, it's. I don't know, man. I'm paying you how much and you ain't out there? Nah, you're going to put these shoulder pads on, bro.
Hey, J-Man, it's a lot of old GMs in this NFL, too, dog. They ain't all Ryan Poles' age out here. It's a lot of dudes.
I'm just saying here in Chicago.
I'm
saying here in Chicago.
Hey, J-Man, I give you case in point. John Lynch played against you.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
John Lynch out there, get out there.
Yeah, I know. And I know John Lynch's demeanor, and you know what I'm saying? He's like, yo, man, you got to get out here. You see, they got rid of Javonte, the running back there, because he wasn't. You got to play, bro.
Got to play.
You didn't lead back. Like, hey, guess what? You're gonna be hurt. You're gonna be sick. You're gonna be sore. But guess what? Football doesn't care.
Yeah. Football. That's a bar. Put that on a T-shirt.
You like that, right?
Football. That's a bar. J-Mac.
Make sure you put that out there. Make sure you write
football
my name.
Football doesn't care.
Make sure you write my name on it.
Thing is, Jason McKee.
Yeah, man.
That's hard. We're making T-shirts on that.
Yeah, football don't care, man. It don't.
Let's talk about some of these old linemen that the Bears are looking at. Of course, Will Campbell is the number one that I think most people are going to gravitate to. He's coming in for a 30 visit as well. And I think that's the obvious one. To me, and me and Tom Waddle were talking about this. I don't know how you feel when you see Will Campbell's tape, but I see tackle, J-Mac. So many people are. Yeah. And I don't know if you saw the discrepancy. So apparently there's some discrepancy with pro day measurements versus combine measurements here, J-Mac. Oh, Sip C. Yeah. So apparently, Will Campbell's arms that were measured at 32 and 2/8, whatever it was, are now measuring longer at his pro day. And there's this a big, I mean. Apparently the pro day or the combine numbers are all completely wrong at this point now.
Here's
because
the thing,
40
man.
Times are better. Arm listen, length is longer. Reps are stronger. You know what I mean?
Look, man, I don't, you know, I'm going to go in coach mode right here. So
let's do it.
There's going to be some language in this, right?
That's okay. So
I don't give a shit how long his arms are. I don't give a shit how fast he runs in the 40. I care about his 10-yard split. Obviously, I care. You talk about availability, right? He started 13 games as a true freshman in the SEC at LSU. Came in ready to play in the SEC at LSU. Now, no disrespect to some schools out here. We ain't talking about coming in and playing and starting at Southeast West Kansas, Kentucky State. We're talking about coming in as a freshman starting at LSU, right? 13 games. Second team all SEC in 2023. First team all SEC. How many games did he start? 13, right? Yep. Last year, first team all SEC. How many games did he start? He started 12. He didn't play in the bowl game against Texas.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing. Talk about availability, right? Something that we haven't seen here with an offensive line in terms of consistency here in Chicago. You have a tackle, whether you want to tackle, guard, whatever. I know I have a guy who's proven to me, right, in one of the premier conferences in college football in the SEC, in which he's being battle tested each and every week against the best of the best. He's getting the best looks in terms of edge, in terms of defensive ends, defensive linemen, each and every week, and he's available, right? So we talked about football doesn't care. You talk about a guy who's sore, who's beat up. He's still available. He's out there. And the productivity is there.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about when I see Will Campbell 32 and 5/8 inch arms and stuff like that, it worked in the SEC, right? It worked against the closest thing you're going to get to NFL talent on a weekly basis, right? It worked on that level. The productivity is there. The film shows us that he has the ability to be a great player in this league. So I don't care what his arm's length is. I don't care what his 40 time is. I care about his 10-yard split. I care about what the tape shows me. And what the tape shows me, he's battle-tested. What the tape shows me, he's been available.
And me and Waddle talked about this yesterday, right? I care about his feet.
Can he get
out there quick enough? Like, to me, when I watch Kelvin Banks Jr., and Waddle described him perfectly yesterday, he feels like a mauler. It's like he gets after you, very, very guard-like, right? He wants to get into the body and attack. And sometimes the feet aren't there. Not cement shoes, but a little bit slower getting out there.
Yeah.
Will Campbell don't feel like that. Will Campbell handles the man in front of him no matter the situation. Man. He gets out quickly. He gets into the body. Even with those short arms, and I will say, they do look a little EO had a picture up yesterday where he had his arms fully extended, and I was like, they look short. They look short. I'm not gonna lie
to you. I get it.
But it don't matter.
I get it. But when he puts some paws on you, what happens when he put the mitts on you, right? When there's lessons and blessings, right?
Yeah.
When he puts the mitts on you, he's gonna bless you. He's gonna give you a lesson. He's gonna bless you. And here's the thing, right? When I've had the opportunity, you know, we got a quarterback that's actually being recruited by LSU, and at the school that I coach at, and you know, Coach Joe Sloan, who's offensive coordinator at LSU, spent a lot of time at our school. You know, this fall, he's been to our school a bunch of times. We sat in the office and we had an opportunity. I talked to him about Will Campbell for a good amount of time. And when I mentioned his name, his eyes lit up. And Joe, we're going to have Joe on the show hopefully soon. They're in spring ball now, but he's going to give us some insight about Will Campbell. And when I mentioned Will Campbell, his eyes lit up. And he's like, he's everything you want in terms of an offensive lineman. Smart, first of all, he talked about smart. Talked about his work ethic, talked about him being a great player, but he said he's every sense of the word, he is a dog. And, you know, people throw that word around loosely, but here's another bar for you, Pat. When we talk about dogs, right, we look at what is a dog, right? So we spell it D-A-W-G, right? A disciplined athlete with grit. That's what you want from an offensive lineman, right? I want an offensive lineman, yes, I want him to be a mauler. I want him to have good feet. I want him to have all those things, right, in terms of his athleticism and the way he plays and play strength and all those good things that can make up a good offensive lineman, right? But there's a lot of linemen in this league that have a lot of those different qualities and traits, right? But mentally, they can't use those traits because they can't pick up the game. They can't ID who they have in pass protection. You know what I'm saying? They can't work in tandem with that guard or with that tackle that they're working with, right? Or they can't use all those traits because they're not available, because they get hurt. They look good for two games or out for four games, right? Yeah. And, you know, we have a tackle who has a lot of good traits, you know, has arm length, you know, has adequate play strength. But the question is, you know, availability. You know, he's coming back off an injury right now. And I think Braxton Jones is a fifth-round draft pick? I think he's fifth a guy who, I mean, I think he's for a fifth-round pick, yeah. Like, a lot of people got
He's overachieved.
He came in and started, you know, we got it wrong, but it's about availability. Yeah. It's about, you know, play strength. That's a big question for Braxton Jones, right? We talk about it. Being able to withstand a bull rush has been his Achilles heel, and he even talks about it in some of his press conferences and things of that nature. But, you know, I think the availability with me and then the success that he's had against some of the top talent in the country in the SEC with Will Campbell's, which is why people are so enamored with him, regardless of how long his arms are.
Yeah, listen, it comes down to me very, very, you know, like I saw, we talked about Shamar Stewart yesterday as well, right? And Shamar Stewart has the RAS scores that are similar to Myles Garrett. Oh, you got to love an RAS score. And I was like, he got 6 sacks in 3 seasons.
That's what I'm saying. Like, come on, man.
He said he modeled himself after Julius Peppers. He got 6 sacks in 3 seasons.
Bro, how disrespectful is it to throw out there, he's just like Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett averages damn near 14 sacks a season in the NFL. Yeah. And when he was at A&M, the stats don't even compare. Like, come on, man. 17 and a half.
Am I tripping? Didn't he have 17 and a half sacks?
I'm saying, yeah, but I'm saying, what is the average per year? I don't know what it is. I mean, every time I look up, he's got 14 plus.
No, I'm saying in college, didn't Myles Garrett have 17 and a half sacks 1 year? He had, yeah, he didn't. Did. He had 32 and a half total sacks, 8.5, 12 and a half, and 11 and a half. But
so Shamar Stewart reminds us of Myles Garrett, who only had, what, 6 career sacks in college?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying, man? That's cool. Like, I get it. He has the potential to possibly, I don't know, to he looks like Myles Garrett. He looks like Myles Garrett. In terms of,
hey, he's a big dude. He's a big dude. Don't come fight like me. He looked like him. I've seen a lot of lookalikes that ain't produced the same thing.
I've seen a lot of look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
Okay, I didn't go that far.
I'm saying not him, but you see a lot of them.
Yes. The another guy that I think and I do, you know, we're talking about the DeAndre Swift conversation. I want to get back to that. But somebody else I want to bring out here is Josh Connerly going to be coming for a 40 visit, another left tackle. He's somebody that could be taken around that second round pick range here at 39 and or at 41. He was phenomenal at Oregon last season, really had a big jump last year, cut his hurries in half, only allowed one sack, did a really good job. And you mentioned a healthy player. Pass block grade on PFF, take it all for what you will, with a grain of salt, watch the tape. 83.6 pass block grade, 72.5 run block grade. I personally thought he looked really good in space in the run. I thought he did a good job getting out. Big boy, 6'4", 315 pounds. Very quick, very explosive. As much as we're talking about DeAndre Swift and the possibility of replacing him, this is now the second year in a row that Ryan Poles is bringing in left tackles. Last year, you took a left tackle in the draft in Karan Amagaji. Are Braxton Jones's days numbered here with a guy like Josh Connerly also being on the Chicago Bears radar here?
Yeah, I mean, that's the premier position of the offensive line is left tackle. You know what I mean? Protecting the quarterback's blind side, right? Protecting our investment, protecting our number one pick, protecting Caleb Williams, right? So you got a guy in Karan Amagaji, and this is the thing, right? Everybody's quick to judge. I'm quick to judge. You know, we looked at Karan as that small sample size that we got last year. We're like, oh, my God, he's a bust. He's a bust. Yeah. Dude didn't even practice in training camp. He was injured. You know what I mean? But when you look at his measurables, he's got a lot of measurables of these guys that we're bringing in for top 30 visits as well. So I think with Karan Amagaji, you know, here's the thing, depending on where you see him at, and obviously we invested a third round pick in him and Ryan Poles likes him, but you know, now he's going to have an off season, you know, a full off season to be able to train. Now he has a clean slate in terms of he's learning a new playbook. He's actually going to be able to practice in training camp. So we'll really get a true glimpse of what, you know, hopefully he, you know, Karan Amagaji can pan out to be. But, you know, Ryan Poe's doing the due diligence, as he should, evaluating all these prospects, especially at a premium position like left tackle. So I think when you look at, you know, Connerly, you look at Membo, you look at Banks, you look at Simmons, you look at Campbell, all these guys have, you know, potential and obviously tremendous upside. You just got to make sure you do diligence and your evaluations to make sure you pick the right one whose upside is actually going to, you know, show up in the NFL.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, right? Like, the thing that it screams to me, very similar to how I feel about the DeAndre Swift situation, is that Ryan Poles may be happy with Braxton Jones where he's at, but he is not ignoring what he has seen. He may feel like there's more to Braxton, but he's not ignoring what's happened, whether it's Ryan Poles or it's Ben Johnson, whoever it is. They're not ignoring the fact that 68 sacks happened. And when you look at the left side, no matter what PFF says, me and you talked about it week in and week out, it's like Braxton's going backwards. He's not going forward. He's going backwards on a consistent basis. And to me, I think that seeing a guy like Josh Connerly's name on this list is hey, not only are we looking in the first round, if we can get Will Campbell at 10, that may be a place we go.
Yeah.
But if we don't get Will Campbell at 10, that don't mean that we don't need to address the position. Last year, you go out and get Karan. Karan didn't play. You had to go with Braxton Jones. You were hoping that was going to be the change that eventually happened, probably, right? You hope that the changing of the guard happens. I don't think you're looking this hard at left tackle, though, if you're happy with Braxton Jones, if you're content at where Braxton Jones is, and you've taken the potential replacement. Most teams don't take third round picks for them to just be like, well, you suck, so go away.
Right. Right. I think, you know, when you look at it too, I mean, it's the depth was, it was, I can't even, I'm trying to think, and I've been trying to think this whole time.
Who was our next left tackle?
And I'm right there. That's bad. I'm standing right there. Like, remember when Braxton went out and Karan went out, I think they did. They move. Did they move? Was
well,
it,
well, they moved prior. Well, prior played it. Prior played left.
Yeah,
tackle.
Prior. And then prior they had Curran, and then Curran was at right guard.
Yeah,
Jay Curran was at right guard, and
we can't relive last year, bro. Just going into the season with Nate Davis, you was already one man down. You know what I mean? Going into the season last year.
I'm gonna stop. Let me stop laughing. That's
right. Hey, listen.
No.
You can't do nothing but laugh in honesty, brother.
No, I'm laughing because I was right there. Man, I'm laughing because and I'm not gonna say the names. So this is a story for the fans out there, right? And I ain't gonna mention no names because I'm not throwing nobody under the bus, but I told you about this, Pat, and it's funny.
Yeah.
So talking about the offensive line. So I think we were in Arizona. I think it was Arizona, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And you know, I'm out there on the field, we're doing the broadcast, and I'm watching the linemen warm up. And so the linemen are doing one-on-one pass rush against each other, just so you got linemen against the linemen, they're just simulating a bull rush to getting prepared for a game. And, you know, one of the linemen got bull rushed by the other lineman. Mind you, they're only going half speed, and he got bull rushed and put on his butt. And I looked over at Coach Morgan, who's the old line coach. I looked at him. He looked at me, and he knew I wanted to be. He looked at me and was shaking his head, and I was like stone-faced with the mic like this, like. I mean, we just locked eyes for a minute. I'm just like,
dog, you should have just walked over to him. Bro. Like, Coach Morgan, you just saw that. What are your thoughts?
No, he was pissed. I could tell he was like disgusted. And you I was like, oh,
man. You should have called up the Big Z and just been like, put me on the air.
And I could, man. And the funny thing is, like, we know what happened that game. And I wasn't surprised. Like, I was like, oh, man.
Hey, but that is the game, J-Mac, where the phrase was originally coined. Yeah. I went into the locker room. I told him the score. And I told him we got each other. Let's play some football.
Stop, man. Stop.
That was our head coach, bro.
Man, leave him alone, man. Hey, leave him alone, man. I like Coach. Coach was awesome, though, man.
He was awesome. I have a beer with Flusser. Defensive schemes all day.
Leave Coach Flusser alone, man. Leave him alone.
And listen, that man walked in the light. You want to
leave him.
Hey, J-Mac, this is the worst part.
Leave Coach Fuse alone.
I don't think that was coach speak. I believe that's really what he did. He walked in that locker room. He's like, all right, man.
He was,
crunch. Razor.
He was having a heart to heart.
You know, I'll tell you this. We're down bad right now. Big touchdown at the half. Look at the man next to you. Come on, Crusher.
Leave Flus alone, man.
Give Eagle a hug.
Look here, man. Look at all linemen. I don't care, man, who you brought in, left tackle, guards, and I don't care. Look at them all. And on both sides, look at the O-line and D-line. I don't care. Yeah. At pick number 10, the Chicago Bears select, I'm hoping it's an O or D lineman.
Yes.
If it's a running back, and me being, like I said, I think I said this on every pod that we've had so far. If it's a running back, as a former back, I'm gonna be mad. But yeah, I'll be happy because I'll get to, if it's Ashton Dentier, one of these guys, I'll get to watch them play and obviously be around them. But you know, it's gotta be an O-D lineman, man. Like everything's built there. Please, Ryan. You're a former offensive lineman. Please, man, have your card ready. And I don't care. It Will Campbell, no matter what. We've seen draft day. Will Campbell, no matter what. One of these linemen, one of these D linemen, please, man. Let's stop doing this.
If it's Will Campbell, go get Devin. I need him to run that thing out there one last time. Just I need it as quickly as possible to the podium.
Look here. And if it's Will Campbell and he doesn't pan out the first year, y'all don't be messaging me. J-Mac, I told you he had short arms. Like,
somebody literally sent me a message was like, 80% of short arm tackles don't work out. I was like, where do you get that stat? Yeah. Where did you pull that from? Which he probably is right. I don't know. Let's talk about this, though, because we talked about the 30 visits. There's some really interesting names in the 30 visits. I think we got to get back into a little bit of this running back conversation, though, especially with DeAndre Swift, because Ryan Poles today at the Ohio State Pro Day, and we know the couple of names down there, Quinshon Judkins, for me, the one that screams off of the board is Travion Henderson. Yeah. When you talk about a pass pro demon. There you go. That's my guy. But he also went to Texas's pro day yesterday with Eric Bieniemy, where maybe Jaden Blue is a target for the Chicago Bears here. You want to talk about Ben Johnson and what he wanted to add to this team. We've seen it already a little bit early here, J-Mac.
Yeah.
Speed. He wants to add speed to this team. Jaden Blue ran a 4.28. 40 time on his first run and a 4.25 40 time on his second run at his pro day. I think he's somebody that could fit what the Bears are looking for here at that running back position. But again, kind of fits that DeAndre Swift mold. Now a little bit bigger, right? Yeah. 6 foot, 200 pounds, definitely has more size to him, but more of a speed type back. And I don't think you're pulling Eric Bieniemy out to go take a look at anybody down there that isn't named Jaden Blue.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? I think, you know, you're trying to find a guy that is comparable to Jahmyr Gibbs in that offense. Kind of gives you the same utilization in terms of running the outside zone, screens, passing game, stuff like that. You're trying to find a back that's in that mold or has similar traits. But at the same time, it's Texas. So they're not, there's a bunch of great players in Texas. Kelvin Banks is down there. Yes, you can bring Eric Bieniemy down there as well to look at a lot of these great players that can come in and help you. But Jaden Blue's another guy. Like, I think the thing about him is, you know, the same thing. I think adequate receiver out of the backfield is some of the strengths they list on NFL.com. But some of the weaknesses, right, for me, it says minimal stakes in pass protection, cause sacks. And that's correctable. You know what I mean? That's something that's correctable. Guys get better in pass protection. But, you know, for a guy like that, you know, having that skill set, having that amount of speed, it does create a lot of things, and it brings a different type of element and dynamic to an offense, right? Because you have an opportunity, a guy that has a lot of speed, to get him out in space and create mismatches and create explosives, right? And I think that's what, you know, when you look at that Detroit offense and Ben Johnson – was running a lot of explosive plays, right? And who did a lot of those explosive plays come from out of the backfield? It came from Jahmyr Gibbs, who has a lot of those traits that we're seeing from Jaden Blue, a lot of those traits we're seeing from Breshard Smith, a lot of those traits that they'll see from Travion Henderson at Ohio State. So it's just a matter of, you know, what type of back they're coveting or what direction they're trying to go in, right? Like we talked about it before, you're trying to bring a David Montgomery, bigger, physical, fast back to the table to pair with Swift? Or are you trying to bring somebody in, right, that has the qualities of a Jahmyr Gibbs, and you're going to find like your David Montgomery or your guy that can move the chains and, you know, run the ball, you know, in between the tackles and things of that nature. So just a matter of how do they view Swift in terms of who they have now? How do they view Swift and Roshan? Do we need two backs? Do we just need one to pair with Swift? Or do we need to, you know, find a replacement for Swift and then find a guy that can, you know, be our, you know, our bell cow or our chain mover?
Yeah, listen, the one thing about Jaden Blue that I do like is the long strides that he has. He's got almost a – trying to think of who in the league right now does it, because all the people I think that are long stride running backs are like the greats, and I hate comparing us to like the best that have ever done it. He almost like a Tony Pollard, right? Almost like a Tony Pollard where like he's got the long strides, but it's accompanied with speed. Like it's a – he's got that extra gear that can take off. I think that's something that the Bears would covet. I think the size, I could see Jaden Blue working in a backfield with DeAndre Swift a little bit more than maybe some of the other names that have been thrown out there. Because to me, I think that you mentioned it, right? Pass blocking is something that can be taught, or something that, hey, listen, you got to do it or you're not getting on this field. Jaden Blue, somebody you're taking in the later rounds, probably a third to fourth round pick. You don't have as much leeway as somebody I take 10th overall. I mean, you got to get out there and do whatever you can to get on the field. And we saw that. I thought that was great when looking at the running backs last year in training camp, right? Like, you saw the younger guys, the guys who were on the bottom, Ian Wheeler, is like, whatever you need me to do, dog. I'm out here. I'll go kick the football off if you need me to do it. As long as I'm out here on this field, I think that Jaden Blue could be a guy where you kind of – there's some coaching that needs to be done with him, but that speed is something that can't be taught.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when you look at him, you know, another weakness I see on the scouting report, and don't get me wrong, like, these weaknesses are just weaknesses, right? They're weaknesses for a reason, because obviously they can be improved upon. You get a great running back coach like Eric Bieniemy, he can turn those weaknesses into strengths. But this is just the evaluation that NFL.com and the scouts are giving us right now. So, you know, I see another one that says has adequate wiggle room and space, right, which is good, right? You see, be able to make defenders miss an open space or being able to, you know, create on your own. But then it says lacks the base strength to break tackles, right? So not necessarily a tackle breaker, right? But, you know, when you look at Jahmyr Gibbs, not the biggest guy. He's got speed, right? But speed equals power, right? So when you watch Jahmyr Gibbs run, he's adept at breaking tackles because he uses his speed as power. He didn't have to be a 220-pound back like a Quinshon Judkins, right, to have that weight behind him when he's running to break tackles. He's using his speed to accelerate into oncoming tacklers, and being able to use like that speed, which equals power, enables him to break tackles and create more explosive plays, along with having that wiggle room to be able to create explosives as well. So, you know, look at a back like Jaden Blue. He has the explosives. He has explosive speed. But it's a question of, you know, can he develop and can he be a consistent, you know, somebody that breaks tackles on the NFL level? Because it ain't going to be just open space he's running in. Like, he's going to have to be able to run through all these guys, run through arm tackles, break tackles, run through somebody that's in the hole that we're not accounting for in our blocking scheme and stuff like that. So, you know, those are all qualities that these backs or traits are going to have at the NFL level.
Now, one who Ben Johnson is getting a good look at, I believe right now, him and Ryan Poles out there, is Trayvon Henderson is at the Ohio State Pro Day as well.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you, J-Mac.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the size, and I think something you just said, right, when it comes to, you know, being able to use your speed to break through power, that is something where I think Trayvon Henderson struggles a little bit. He doesn't use his speed, turn it into power. He's not going through nobody. He can't get around guys. He's got a lot of wiggle to him.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to effort, I don't know if there's another running back in the draft right now that shows more effort than Trayvon Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to pass pro and keeping his quarterback up off of the ground. I have seen him saw guys in half at Ohio State. And Ohio State's always on TV. Of course, they go to the national championship, so we all get to see him. But, like, when you look just specifically at him, he feels like that high effort, high want to kind of player that I think every team would benefit from having. But again, it's kind of that same conversation we've been having where he is very similar to a DeAndre Swift. I think out of the backfield, he pass catches really well. And the question I asked Waddle, I want to pose to you, because these guys are very similar. But Travion Henderson coming into a new system, coming in with Ben Johnson, will be able to work, would have that trust there. Me and you have talked about how at times DeAndre Swift didn't trust that the blocks were going to be there, or didn't trust that the play was going to run well. Last season, rightfully so, more times than not, the play didn't run the right way. Do you have to bring somebody possibly in like a Travion Henderson, who's very similar to Swift, because of the mental aspect of it, where I got to figure out how to get him to trust the system again, versus Travion Henderson, who walks in and is going to be like, wherever you need me to go, coach, I got you. Whatever you need me to do, coach, I got you.
No, I think, man, it's completely different systems. So you can't, like, DeAndre Swift's not going to come in. I don't trust Ben Johnson's system. No, the system works. You saw it. You saw it work watching that offense on the sideline. You know what I mean? You've seen it work for the past few years. And you've seen what he's been able to do in terms of from a productivity standpoint from the running backs that he has. So if anything, and if I'm DeAndre Swift, like, I'm excited at the fact that now, you know, I may have the opportunity of getting a fresh start with an offensive coordinator that really an offense that he has had in the past that's really relied on the run game, but also knows how to get the run game going. Yeah. So I'm excited about that, you know. And yeah, at the same time, I get what you're saying about Travion Henderson, new guy coming in. He's going to be excited anyway. I'm in the NFL. I've achieved a dream. I got a new system, and I'm going to a team that has, you know, that's had the top offensive coordinator in the NFL that's now my head coach. Like, who's not going to get excited about that as a running back? But I think it's for Swift. I think when you look at the year that a lot of the free agent backs have had, and you were in that class, you look at what Saquon did. You look at what some of these other backs have done. And, you know, you hear the negativity, you hear the naysayers, you hear the doubters. And, you know, the thing about the NFL, like, nobody's going to be harder on themselves than the actual player. And, you know, DeAndre Swift, you know, I know his dad, and you know, I've had an opportunity to see him play in high school. He's a Philly kid. And, you know, I know he's a hardworking guy, and I know he's up for the challenge to come out here and really try to thrive in a Ben Johnson system if he gets that opportunity. So I don't think that's, you know, he's saying, I'm not going to trust the system. If anything, I think he's excited about the fresh start and having the opportunity to actually prove himself in Chicago in a new system, you know, with a guy that really knows offense and Ben Johnson.
Yeah, listen, I would love to see it. I think that the idea of what DeAndre Swift can be and what he has the skill set to be, we haven't seen him be that here in Chicago. But my concern from it comes in where we also saw a lot of these same things in Philly, and J-Mac, Philly's system works. Philly's got the OC that understands what he's doing. Philly's got the offensive line that knows how to block and knows how to open the holes up. And we saw a couple of pop-up games. I think he had a 175 game out there. He had a 130-plus game, and a phenomenal couple of games. And you see a 13 game. You see a 65-yard. You see a 50-yard, or 42, 32 yards, right? Like, you see the same inconsistencies.
And it's a consistency that goes deeper than the inconsistency with the offensive line as well. Like, who was, you know what I mean? It's a lot of things that go into it. You know, I think that, I mean, and we're talking about backs. It's a lot of great backs in this draft, right? And that's why at number 10, you know, it's like, man, like, I get it. You take Jenty, but dang, there's Judkins still out there. There's Amari and Hampton. There's a ton of backs, Travion Henderson. I mean, the list goes on and on. Like,
if you go to like the fifth round, like,
that's what I was gonna say.
Trevor Etienne might still be on the board.
That's what I'm saying. There's R.J. Harvey from UCF. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of guys. I mean, there's the running back from Oklahoma State. I think, was it Ali Graham? I think it's, I can't remember his name, but Oklahoma State running back. That's a good back as well. So it's a lot of things, but I think when you look at this system, we're talking about running backs and how they're going to put this thing together, right? It's just a matter of, like we said, I think it just comes down to what has been Ben Johnson and Eric Bieniemy's view of DeAndre Swift?
Yeah.
You know, and do we need a guy to pair with him, or do we need a guy to replace him and then bring in another guy that can give us that extra added element to our offense? So I think that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, we'll see. I think there's a lot of good running backs here. I'll be honest with you. I would love for the $8 million investment in Swift to pay off, and DeAndre Swift getting back with Ben Johnson and turning into the running back we all believe that he can be. Yeah. I don't think that means that you can't go out and get that other running back that could be the knuckles to his Sonic if it were the case to use kind of right. What Detroit did there. I think that you're probably 17 games in, dog. Like, and I know it's not that many more games, but it is more games. Like, I would assume that is that little bit of an extra toll just beats the heck out of you. And you almost need a two-back system now versus back in the day when it's like, yeah, I can have a three-down back that's getting every single carry and doing everything on the field because we're not playing nearly as many games.
Yeah, look at Ohio State, right, last year, the national champion Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
When you look at their backfield, I mean, it's similar to what Detroit had. You had Quinshon Judkins and you had Trevion Henderson. So you had Sonic and Knuckles right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the way they were utilized. So you look at Quinshon Judkins, who I said who's been productive every single year, right? Got the bulk of the carries his freshman year at Ole Miss. Freshman SEC player of the year, freshman All-American. The next year does the same thing. I think he went for over 1,300 yards. As a freshman, he went for 1,500 yards. And next year, he went for 1,100 yards. And then he gets to Ohio State. You split carries, right? Didn't have the mileage this year that Anashin Genty had, who had over 300-plus carries at Boise State. But he paired well with Trevion Henderson. So, you know what I'm saying? So now you've got a guy who's productive. You got an added element to your offense, but he's not taking the mileage because he's not getting 250-plus carries a year. You know what I mean? So I think it's a matter. I think it's going to be a two-back system with Ben Johnson. We've seen that in his offense. When his offense has thrived in a two-back system. I think he has to find the right guy that has the traits in terms of what he's looking for from his running backs to make this offensive system or to make this offense go, especially in the run game.
Yeah, 100%. We'll see what the Bears end up doing. Let us know how you guys feel in the comments below. A lot of running backs on this list. We talked about a bunch of them that are currently connected to the Bears. There's somebody we didn't talk about that you feel is needs to be on the Chicago Bears radar. I'd say a little dark horse running back for you here.
Only running back I want is Will Campbell. That's the only running back I want.
hey J-Mac,
Will Campbell in the comments.
If we get into Tory Taylor range, I'm willing to take a running back. You know what I mean? We took a punter last year. Running back is an upgrade there. I'll take a Jaquindon Jackson in the sixth round, though. Okay. If you haven't checked out his tape, tap into some of him. 6'2", 233, my boy. Hmm. Big boy. Big boy.
I haven't even heard the name. Where's he at? Hey,
he is a Razorback.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Big Suey.
Big boy.
Yeah.
Big boy. Hey, but I appreciate y'all for tuning in and showing love as always. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Do you think it's more likely that the Bears replace DeAndre Swift, or do you think they ride with DeAndre Swift and no matter what, still take a running back here? I think the idea is that they're going to want a running back at some point in this draft. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. For Jason McKeach, boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace. We'll be right back.